Greg is the pastor, and I pastor alongside him, yes. And so we are senior pastors here. Paul and Ginger Gray, Ginger ministered last Sunday. They are founding pastors. Just in case y'all, there might be some confusion from time to time. Greg and I took the church so that Paul and Ginger could focus on more outreach. And we took it over a year ago in January. And let me tell y'all, it's been a little bit of an adventure. We were with them for 9-10 years prior to, as we say, associate pastors, co-pastors is what they called us, but whatever it was, didn't matter. Greg's coming back, okay? So he'll be here next Sunday. He is out of town with Joseph. They're having a father-son trip / work trip, and they are in Nashville, Tennessee right now. They went to a hockey game last night for the first time, so I'm a little jealous, but he's coming back, and so y'all got me today. So, it has been a minute since I've done this. And for those of you that know me, this, I love y'all so much, but this is not my favorite thing to do in ministry. My favorite thing to do in ministry is minister to women and minister at Teen Challenge and minister in the prison when I'm able to. And this is out of my comfort zone. But God says, you know what? It doesn't matter, because in 2025, it's grace upon grace, right? We've been talking about it. And so he's wanting to increase the ability that I allow him to have in my life. Yes, grace upon grace. He's wanting to take the ability he's already placed inside of me, and he's wanting to increase it. And he's not only wanting to do that for me, but he's wanting to do that for every person in this room. Do y'all believe God for that? Amen. And so last Sunday, Pastor Ginger ministered on the power of yes. Is that what you ended up calling it? Something along those lines. How many of you were here last Sunday? It's very, very good. It was amazing. And so she talked about the power of yes, and it was so funny because she got into choices. And prior to that, I had made, do y'all ever, like, God gives you something and you'll put it in your notepad in your phone, or you'll write it down somewhere? Am I the only one that happens to? And so prior to her preaching, I had kind of gotten something that the Lord had dropped in my spirit. One of the words that he had dropped was choice. Now, another word that he has dropped in my spirit for this year is joy. And I've talked about that already, the fact that he has dealt with me concerning my joy level. Now, I'm not going to get into joy today. It may come up. But we just had an outward manifestation of the inward joy that is in each of us. Because the joy of the Lord resides on the inside of each and every one of us. But we have a choice, right, as to whether or not we're going to allow what is inside of us to manifest itself on the outside of us, okay? Which kind of leads me to where we're going today. So, Charles, go ahead and put up my first picture. So, y'all that know me know that I have been a teacher forever. I'm an educator, 26 years. I've taught some of you in this room. It's crazy. I'm getting old. Anyhow. So he always, anytime I minister, he's always giving me images of things every time. And I'll have an object lesson because I always do. And so y'all going to get taught a little bit today. Now, he was showing me an image of an electric circuit. I am not an electrician. I live in a household with Greg Lee, who hates, we all know this, right? Greg hates electricity. So we don't fool with electricity in our house. We hire people to do that have a greater knowledge than either of us. But I do know enough to know that there are really four parts to any circuit, okay? And so we've got our battery, right, which we're going to call, in this case it's a battery, but that's like our source or our source of power, yes? Okay, then we've got these wires that are going around. And the purpose of the wires is to connect the source to, in this case, it's a light bulb. But, okay, tell me, Tom, if I'm wrong, is it called a load? I use the right terminology. I'm so proud of myself. I taught this a little bit in one of my classes, little section of what we did. So anyway, it's called a load. A load is whatever is using the power, okay? And then we've got this part there called a switch. And so those are going to be four parts to a circuit. Now, y'all hang with me, because I know we're going to school this morning. But the Lord kind of showed me in this that that light bulb or that source of light is extremely important. And he kind of like, I'm like, Lord, why are you bringing me to this? Why are you doing this? Why am I bringing this to church? What does this have to do with what we're talking about? And he took me back to a few weeks ago whenever I did the offering. And Devin hit it this morning, Isaiah 119. And it says, the willing, we heard it this morning, and the what? Obedient will do what? Eat the good of the land. And as I'm always asking, what in the world, Lord? What does this have to do with this? And so then he took me to Matthew 5:14, okay? So if you have your Bible or if you have your phone, whatever you use, we're going to go through this quickly because we don't have a ton of time, but we're going to go to Matthew 5:14. And in Matthew 5:14, it says, you, everybody say me, I, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Now, in NLT, I like that it says, you are the light of the world like a city. They add that word like a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Nor, if we go on to 15, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. So in other words, wherever the lamp or the light is, it is providing light to whomever is in that vicinity. Okay, are y'all following me? Verse 16, it says, let your light so shine before men that they, who do you think they is? Yeah, everybody else, right? That they may see your good works, okay? And glorify your Father in heaven. I hear, you know, one question that we get quite often is, or what I hear a lot, especially from teenagers and young adults, I just don't know my purpose. Do you agree that the world is trying to find their purpose? Yes. That's why we have so much stuff going on right now. People are wandering around trying to find their purpose in the wrong things. And Ephesians 2:10 is one of my favorite scriptures. I didn't put it in there, Charles. But it says that you were created in Christ Jesus. You were created in him to do good works. There's my purpose. I was created, I was put on planet Earth in Christ Jesus to do good works. But here's the fact, are we always doing the good works? Even as Christians. Come on, y'all, let's get real. Are we always this? Look, Ginger and I talk about this all the time. The thing I love most about our church is we are not fake phony. We are authentic and we are genuine. And I'll say this, you know, Greg and I work full-time jobs. We have day jobs. And we're senior pastors. So we understand the struggles that every person in this room faces working in the world. Okay? I don't work in an area where I am only surrounded by good things all day long. In fact, I work in an area where I am quite often surrounded by a lot of junk. Okay? So do y'all understand what I'm saying? And we are not always, when we're placed in these areas, you know, the Lord is saying, your purpose here is to do good works. Your purpose here is to be a lamp on a lampstand. And I have a lamp right over here so that you can let, I'm not going to get too far, your light shine before men. But are we always allowing our light to shine before men? No. Can we be real? No, we're not. Me included. I'm telling y'all right now, every time I bring something, it's something he's dealing with me about every single time, okay? And so always. And so I want all of the stuff, put that picture back up, Charles. I want all of the source. If God is my source, I want all of him to be displayed in me. Yes? So we got to figure out where the disconnect is. We've got to figure out why we are not taking what we know is in us, because I think that we are very aware of who is in us, but we're not always displaying him out of us. Is that making sense? Okay, so I'm going to go to my little lamp over here for a minute. So I have this lamp I brought from the house. It's probably dirty and dusty, y'all. I'm sorry. And we've already mentioned, you can keep that picture up, Charles. We've already mentioned that the battery is our source, right? And so when I take this lamp, if this represents us, this lamp, if this represents us, for it to have power, I have to plug it into something, yes? This lamp is not going to come on. Now, I know there's these new fancy light bulbs you can buy that you don't have to have a cord. We're not talking about that. Old, traditional. Okay, I got to plug it into the wall. And I plug it into the wall because it is a source, yes? But is the lamp on? No. So when I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I am plugging in to the source. I am plugging in to God Himself. And the power is available for me. However, I'm not displaying that power. Not yet. So there's some things that got to happen. So then let's talk about our little wire portion right there. So our wire, and this is where my scripture came in for Isaiah, and I'm like, Lord, okay. The wire is going to represent today our willingness. Our wire really represents our time. There is a length of time that we need to be spending with God, and there is no set length of time, y'all. But the point is, it's like relationship. There has to be a relationship between this object and this source, yes? There has to be a relationship. I get born again, I make Jesus my Lord and Savior, and I walk around living like a donkey, wallowing with the pigs, like the prodigal son. Have all this stuff available, but I'm not living like it. So that means I haven't developed my relationship in any way. And so to do that, we've got to spend time in the precious, precious Word of God. And y'all know, some of you, how much I love this. This is this Bible right here. And not the cover, but the Bible inside of it. There are pages falling out of it. There are notes everywhere in this Bible. And I know we are technology driven in this day and age, and I'm not discounting that. I have my iPad up here. I get it. But there is something about writing on paper. And there is something about touching it and feeling it. It becomes more precious and valuable. And when I leave this world, the most precious thing I can leave physically in this world to my children is this right here. I hope they fight over it when I die. I hope they say, Mom, I want Mom's Bible. I don't know where it is. Or I want Dad's Bible. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? I've had that experience. I have a dish at our house that I found in Greg's grandmother. Y'all have heard of Greg's grandmother. He's talked about her for precious, wonderful, amazing woman of God. And we were going through the stuff in her house before they sold it. And I found a casserole dish, and she had written her name in Sharpie on the bottom of it, Vail Spillers. And I don't care about the dish, but I care about that signature. It's precious. And so when we spend time with Him, in this word, it's just so valuable. And what it does is basically it is going to increase. Because let me rephrase this. This is His will, right? So I need His will to change my will. Yes? And so if I'm spending time in His will, eventually I become more willing to do what's written in this. Yes? It also does something else. It decreases my unbelief. Those of you that have been here, y'all know what is Pastor Greg been talking about. Decreasing unbelief. Not necessarily increasing our faith. We've got all the faith we need, right? The problem is, what gets in the way? Unbelief. And so as I spend more time in this and in His presence, and whether it's in the Word and it's in prayer and it's, you know, listening to podcasts, whatever, I'm putting in, then what happens is, it unplugged. And sometimes that happens, y'all. We unplug ourselves, yes? Y'all ever gotten disconnected from people. And yeah, okay. And so what happens is we are spending time in the Word. We are increasing the flow of the power that is made available to us. We are allowing what has already been placed and positioned inside of us to get in our heart and change our heart to make us not just willing to do something, but want to do it for Him. Right? Y'all think about whenever you first got saved. And, you know, a couple of us have been backslid. I have. Wait, have y'all been backslid before? Is it just me? Yeah. I mean, I got saved and I was on fire and I was reading my Word, but eventually I started reading my Word less. I started hanging out with people I shouldn't hang out with, and they started bringing me down, and I started acting like them. And the next thing you know, I'm not reading my Word anymore. I'm not praying. Is it just me? You know? Okay. And so I had to get to that place where I said, I'm tired of being sick and tired, and what I'm doing is not working, right? And I had to get connected again. He was always there. That power source is always there. He was just waiting on me to take the time to spend with Him. Amen? So I need what's in the source to be displayed in this. Yes? So the other part that is so incredibly important, and let's put our third picture up, Charles III, is the switch. Because the switch has this powerful component, and that it can either close a circuit or it can open a circuit. Okay? And here's what's really weird, is because you think it'd be opposite. That light comes on in that picture when the circuit is what? Closed. And so what's happened whenever we make a decision, where's my switch? There it is. I was going to say, please come on. When I make a decision to, I'm willing in my heart. I've been spending time in the Word. Yes. I've been spending time in the Word. I've been spending time in His presence. I've been spending time in prayer. Okay. I want to say this for a minute because God dropped this morning. I've been spending time praying and worshiping. That praise and worship is important. But if all you ever do is praise and worship, and you never spend time gaining foundation, which I love what Jeremy said. If you never spend time getting foundation, that praise and worship is like the coating on the outside of these wires. It's what everybody sees. Yeah? It's what everybody hears. But deep down, what's going on the inside of these wires? If the wires are faulty, is this going to work? If the foundation's not there, this will not work. And so that's when you see Christians get, I got a hair right here. We use the word flaky. Y'all know what I'm talking about when you say flaky Christians? Jody's laughing because she knows. Flaky Christians get to a point where it's all praise, all praise, all praise, all worship, all worship. And that's great. But there's no root, a foundation of the Word of God that if something bad happens, they've fallen out and they're gone. They can't come back from it. Y'all understand what I'm saying by that? Because the Word says, Hebrews 4:12 says, the Word of God is alive, right? Powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's going to get in there and it's going to divide out what is not of God and what is of God. And so that foundation is critical. So we come in, our heart is changed, we are willing, we've built our relationship. We are determined to spend time with the Lord and make Him our priority. And then we go over here and we decide, okay, I'm going to now be obedient. And so what God's been speaking to me in this season, I'm going to be obedient to do. And that's when I turn this switch. Obedience is like a switch because it's a choice. I can either choose to be a doer of the Word or I can choose to just be a what? Hearer. And what does the Word say about doers versus hearers? It says that when we fail to do the Word and we only hear the Word, who are we deceiving? Ourselves. We deceive ourselves. And we think, oh, yeah, I'm going to church every Sunday. I'm going to church every Sunday. I sing on Sunday mornings. I do all this stuff. I come sometimes on Wednesday night. What's wrong? And then Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I forgot about Jesus. Y'all, I've done it. Okay. I'm just saying, I'm being real. I'm being authentic. And he's with us. He's in us. I got so excited during that song because I love that part where it says, it may look like I'm surrounded, but who are we really surrounded by? Him. Every single day, every single moment. But he needs us to acknowledge him, to be willing and to make a choice to turn the switch to obey. And sometimes obedience is hard on the flesh. Very hard on the flesh. Sometimes obedience, we think it's just doing something God's asked us to do, okay? Like, it's kind of like exercise. It's hard on the flesh, but obedience is kind of like exercise. It's being a doer, right? And the more you are a doer, the easier the doing becomes. It's just like whenever we, you know, go to the gym, which I don't do. And we attempt to work out. That first time of working out is hard and painful, right? But then over time, what happens? As we do it more, it gets easier. Our muscles become accustomed to it. And I personally want to get to the point to where I am so used to doing that I don't even have to make a conscious effort to do. That I don't even have to think about doing, oh, am I doing your will, Lord? Because I already know I am. Like, I'm so sure that what my path is what he would have me do, that there's no thought, do I need to flip a switch? The switch has already been flipped. Yes? But what keeps us from flipping this switch oftentimes? Now, anybody want to throw it out there? Any ideas? Fear. Fear. Number one tool of the enemy. Yes? Fear. All right, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, Charles. So fear, you know, it says in Timothy, it says that God did not give us a spirit of what? Fear. But what did he give us a spirit of? Power, love, and a sound mind. I love that sound mind part. I love that part. Because we all know that where we struggle is in our chooser. Is in this thing. Every one of us struggle with this part, our mind. And so that's why 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 is one we got to really meditate and feed on. So let's look at what it says. It says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Remember, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, right? And we have to make a choice to cast down anything that come against what the word says. If it is contrary to this, then it is not of God. Period. If it is opposite of what this says, it is our job. And if I've been spending time, I've been willing, right? I've been spending time in the word. I'm going to know what's contrary to this. And I've got to make a choice to cast down those arguments. And it says, and bring every what? Thought into captivity to the, there's that word. What does it say? Obedience of Christ. So I got to take my mind and I've got to make sure that I am bringing my mind into the obedience of Christ. This morning, I had a series of things that took place this morning, and I had some thoughts that were not in the obedience of Christ. I'm confessing. Okay? But we all do that. We all have those moments, right? And fear will get us to this point to where we start thinking so much that we talk ourselves out of obedience. You know, it's confession time. So does anybody in here have an extreme fear of something? Okay, we're being honest, authentic, and real, okay? And I know fear is not from God. It is not. It is straight from the pit of hell. But I have struggled with heights. My girlfriends know that. They all know. And so I don't like tall buildings. Sorry. I don't even like really, really, really high escalators. And I know, or elevators with glass. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Yeah, y'all know that. I will hug the buttons on the, yeah. I'll hug the door and not look behind me. I don't like driving over Baton Rouge Bridge. Y'all ever been there? Oh, yes. Yes. However, I have found a way to get anywhere I need to be without even having to deal with that. And so what I'm saying by that is I am not going to allow my fear of heights to keep me from getting to where I need to go. Okay? I cannot allow my fear of, well, what if it doesn't work out? That thought is the enemy. Well, what if I do this? Emily this morning, where's sweet Emily? Okay, that took a lot for her to come up, and she had a word from God. And she knew it's for somebody. And I'm sure that there was a thought there for a second. What if nobody comes down for prayer? What if? Here's the deal. We got to change our what ifs to even if. What if can't exist in the kingdom of God? What if doesn't matter? And what if is fear? And what if, well, basically, put that picture back up, Charles, of the two circuits. What if is what will keep the circuit open? What if is what will keep the power of God from flowing and displaying itself to the world around us? What if? But when I make a choice, and I say, I don't care what if, even if, it didn't go the way that I'm thinking it's going to go. Even if, I still choose to be a doer of the word, because I'd rather be wrong than not do it at all. I'd rather miss it a little than miss an opportunity to display the light of God to somebody, to someone that needs it. Let's go to John 1:1 real quick, Charles. I am all over my notes, y'all. I'm sorry if I'm kind of all over the place. Are y'all following me? So, John 1, I love this passage of Scripture. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Yes. And the Word was God. And He was in the beginning with God. Anybody know who they're talking about? Jesus. All things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. Keep going. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Let's pause there for a moment. In Him, who? Jesus, was life, and the life was the what? Light of men. So what that is telling me right there, and let's go to second picture, Charles. What that is telling me right there is that Christ is life and life is light. And that light that I'm displaying to a hurting, broken world is the life of God on display for everyone to see. His goodness, His mercy, His gentleness, His kindness. Good Lordy, do people need His peace? Yes, we need His peace, right? And so if He is life and light, that means the opposite is death and darkness. There's a very real world out there that is living, and we walk into it, y'all, when we go to work tomorrow. We walk into a dark and hurting world. I work at Mendon High. Most of you know that. I love what I do. And I have been called to that school for 26 years. Good Lordy. Long time. I went to high school there. I've spent more of my life at that school than I have not. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. And some days I'm like, what the heck am I doing? And then I have to remind myself of why I'm there. And even if I'm one-on-one with a kid, I can still display the light. I can still show them what light looks like. There are days that the light is not being displayed as it should, because I've made a choice to not be obedient and be ticked off and be in my head and be angry and be frustrated. Opal, can you relate? Yes. She's a teacher, so she gets it. Okay? And y'all do this at, we all do this at our jobs, yes? Okay, nothing new. But here's what's really awesome, y'all. I'm going to put the mic down for just a minute. Y'all see what I'm grabbing? An extension cord. Here's what's really awesome. Is the more willing I become, the more time I spend with the Lord, and the more prayer I get into, I'm trying to stretch. Oh, no. Can you help me? Help me, Casey. Somebody help me. Help is on the way. Yay. There we go. Okay. Then the further my reach becomes. Yes. Oh, I love that this happened. I love that this happened. So look at what's happening. Hold on, Stephen. Leave it like that. What happened to my cord? It got tangled. Sometimes along the way, we might be willing, but there's going to be a bump in the road. There's going to be a distraction. There's going to be a frustration. There's going to be people that we're dealing with that want to get us to a place of unwillingness where I'm so frustrated. Dang it, God, this ain't working. Right? Yeah. And so every single day, we got to make a choice. Yes? When Ginger was talking about choices last week, I was like, well, dang, Lord, what you want me to do with that? He needs us to get to a place of being willing, his will and our will aligned, and obedient to be a doer, not just a hearer. And then what did he say in 1:19 again? And we're going to close in just a minute. He said, then what will we do? Eat what? Good of the land. The Lord told me last night, good of the land, we associate with money. We associate with things, new cars, new house, new job. Good of the land is people. The good of the land are the people that we get to see next door to us in our mansions one day in heaven and say, praise God, I got to speak into them. I got to plant a seed into them. One small seed, one small nugget. Everybody in this room has people that we are believing God for in 2025. I got a lot of them. Yes? And so if I'm expecting my reach to be farther, oh, I want to do more for the kingdom. I want to step out. I hear this all the time. I want to do more. I want to do more. I want to do more. I'm with you. But we got to start first by plugging into that source. Make sure we are there. We got to make sure that we're doing our part to build our relationship with God, spending time with him, taking time, assessing our priorities. Y'all, I can get distracted by Netflix like nobody's business. I love a good show. I'm not going to lie. I do. And I'm a binge watcher. Anybody else? Yes. I'm like, if I start something, I got to finish it. Y'all know what I'm saying? But by the end of it, I have realized how much of a chunk of time I just took for something that did not contribute to me and my walk with the Lord at all. And I'm not saying you got to cut out TV. That's not what I'm saying. That's not who we are. But I am saying for me personally, I've got to assess my priorities in what I'm doing this year in 2025. Is it just me? I hope not. Okay. Amen. All right. Thank you, Stephen. You did good. So we're going to close out our last scripture, Deuteronomy 30:19. We have a choice. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you. And this is God talking. What has he set before us? Life and death. We could go ahead and say light and darkness. Right? I have set that before you. Life and death, light and darkness, blessing life, blessing light, and cursing darkness, death. Choose what? Life. Choose to walk in the light of who God is. Choose. And not just for you. Look at what the rest of that scripture says. that both you and your what? Descendants may live. Let's stand to our feet. It is not all about us. Amen? I got friends, I got family that I'm ready to see come into the kingdom. I'm ready to see them walking in the fullness of who God's created them to be. And guys, it's only going to happen. It's a domino effect, right? If we're willing to do our part to shine the light of Jesus everywhere we go. Amen? So who in this room has family members that you are believing God for this year? All right, everybody in this room. Carly, can you go play just a little something for a minute? So we're just going to lift them up this morning before the throne. We're going to come into agreement because where two or three are gathered, he's here, right, Yahweh? He's here. And so we're going to come together and we're going to believe God for our friends and our family that are walking in darkness right now. Amen? All right. Father, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord, for this time together as a family of believers, Father, that just want to grow in more of who you created us to be. And Lord, right now we are committing our hearts to serve you. We are committing our hearts to spend time with you, to make you the priority, the priority. You are the priority for us, Lord, our relationship with you, our walk with you. And so we're committing our lives today to serve you in every facet. And it is my prayer, Lord God, that in this room, that you would give each person in this room an opportunity to shine the light of Jesus. Shine the light in the darkness. Shine the light in their family. Shine the light in their friends. That when they walk into work tomorrow or wherever it may be today, when they go home, and there may be family members at home that didn't come to church this morning, they may be at home and they're away from you or they don't know you at all. Lord, I just pray that you give them the words in due season, that the love of God that's already shed abroad in their hearts by the Holy Ghost just wells up from within them. And that just, there's a literal change in the atmosphere that it may seem like a chaotic place. They may be worried about going home to chaos, but Lord, I thank you that the peace of God that passes all understanding is going to walk into that place, guarding their hearts and their minds in Christ Jesus. And that they are going to make a choice for you. So Lord, today we make a choice and we lift up our friends and family that don't know you. And we just call them home in 2025. We are believing you, Lord, for grace upon grace. Ability upon ability. Give us, Father, the grace to be doers of the word and not just the hearers. And we thank you for it today in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Go home and eat your roast. Love you. Have a wonderful